see all of you in the house of the Lord, and it's so good to see friends and visitors coming to visit with us this morning. May the Lord bless you in a very, very special way. And those of us who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, let us tell the world that we have the living Savior living in our hearts. Do you have the living Savior living in your heart? Yes, no? All right, if the answer is yes, I trust that all of us may be able to show forth this living Savior to those who are around us, so that people will know that this Savior of ours is able to change lives. This Savior of ours is able to enable us to live lives that are glorifying to the one true living God. And we want to show the world that if we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we indeed have a very, very meaningful life. Now, the word that I'm going to preach on is has this title this morning, God's Will for My Life. God's Will for My Life. Now, what's God's will for my life? And that's what we want to try to address this morning, this question, God's will for my life. And we read from two passages. First is Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And then Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Write these two passages that we have read. I'd like to consider particularly the second passage taken from the book of Proverbs. Now, one of the most dangerous sports is cave diving. Yes, there are people who love these sports. They'll dive into caves that are full of water, and they like to explore these caves. Now, as you know, in a cave, there are lots of tunnels. And if you get lost in one of the tunnels, and if your oxygen runs out, that's the end of you, all right? You die. Now, cave divers, of course, try to make this spot as safe as possible. And so, over the years, what they have come up with is a very standard way of marking the caves, so that internationally these signs are recognized. So they have come up with this international way of marking their caves, so that people going to their caves can go in safely and find their way out safely. Now, needless to say, the safest way to explore the cave would be to follow the markers that were left behind by previous divers. That's the safest way to do it. Now, God, for us believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord has his will for all of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ for our journey on this earth, our life's journey on this earth. Now, his will is the best for us. Now, if we do his will, we will find life most joyful and life most meaningful. And then at the end of our life's journey, we have this certainty of arriving at heaven. And thank God, God has given us his markers, clear markers, so that we may be well guided to know his will. So this is what we want to consider first of all this morning. His markers, God's markers for knowing God's guidance. And number two, I would like to talk about God's way for our knowing his guidance. And number three, God's promise concerning his guidance. Now, first of all, God's markers for knowing his guidance, so that we may be able to know his will. Now, what are these markers? Now, look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, please. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. All right. I'll read for you. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So the first marker that we see here is trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's the first marker. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Trust not in anyone, but trust in this God, the Lord. Now some trust in the stars. And so what they do when they open up a magazine or open up the newspaper, the first page that they turn to is not the sports page, but the star's page, because they want to see what their star has to say to them in regards to what they ought to be doing or what they ought not to be doing for the day or for the week or for the months ahead. So that's what they will be looking for, first of all. They want to see what their stars are telling them. Then others are very, very superstitious. They will not travel until they have consulted their fortune teller. Some people do that. And then people doing business will, of course, consult their feng shui, the feng shui xianzhen or the feng shui master, to make sure that the offices or the shops and the doors of the offices and the shops are correctly positioned for the best fortune of their business. Have you seen these shops for the doors that are very, very oddly positioned? You say, why is the door so oddly positioned? It is because the owner of the shop or the office has consulted his feng shui xianzhen or his feng shui master, and the feng shui master has prescribed that the door must be positioned this way. And so they position the door that way. Now, then business says when they open, particularly Chinese businesses, they like to open on very, very auspicious days or on a very, very auspicious day. I remember years ago, the company that I worked for, which had his head office in Hong Kong, was relocating its office. And they chose a very, very auspicious day to relocate the office. It was on the 8th of August in the year 19, you want to guess? 88, of course. So it's 08088. And what time did the office open? 8 o'clock. Oh, you know the answer, you see. Because 8 is supposed to be a very, very lucky number according to Hong Kongers. And then did the Caucasian American bosses of the company dare to fight the prescription of this fortune teller to have this office open on that particular day and at that particular time? You think they're there? Of course they didn't dare, because they were as superstitious, if not more superstitious. Now, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must not trust in anyone else or in anything else if we want to know God's will. We must not trust in the stars. We must not trust in the feng shui xianzhen or feng shui master. We must not trust in fortune tellers. But we must trust in the Lord, because this God of ours is all-powerful, and He's all-knowing, all-powerful and all-knowing. Now, if we do not know how powerful or how all-knowing He is, or if we have forgotten how powerful or how knowing He is, my dear friends, we need to look at God's Word. And I'd like us to remind ourselves who this God is. Let's turn to Isaiah 40. Let's remind ourselves who this God is. All right, Isaiah 40, verses 25 to 29. Isaiah 40, 25 to 29. Isaiah 40:25. I read for you. To whom then will you liken me? God says. Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things? Referring to the stars in the sky, and the planets and so forth. That bringeth up their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. You know, he called all the stars in the whole wide universe into existence. You think there is something to it, my dear friends? Everything and everything and everything to it. You know how many stars there are in the whole wide universe? I mentioned that at a prayer meeting some weeks ago. You know how many stars there are in the whole wide universe? The number of stars in the whole wide universe is as the number of grains on the sand of the seashore. And that's the truth. All right? Scientists have discovered that. They look up into the universe and look up into the sky. The number of stars in the sky is practically countless. Yes, as the number of stars in the sky is as the number of grains of sand on the seashore. Think of it. And you know what? He calleth them all by names. Did you read those words there? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. In other words, he called each one into existence by its name. God knows the name of every star in the whole wide universe. How powerful he is, how knowing he is. And not one faileth. When he called each one of them into existence, each one of them came into existence. Verse 27, why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. Meaning to say, he is all-knowing. Yes, all-powerful. His understanding is immensely great. Yes, no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. So you see, this God of ours is all-powerful, all-knowing. Isn't he worthy of our trust? My dear friends, surely he is. And not only that, my dear friends, he loves us. He loves us sacrificially. He gave his only begotten Son to die for us on the cross of Calvary. His only begotten Son shed his precious blood for us to redeem us. God did not redeem us with gold or with silver, but he redeemed us with his precious blood, even the blood of his only begotten Son. So you see, he's all-powerful, all-knowing, absolutely faithful, absolutely loving. He loves us sacrificially. Surely, friends, he is worthy of our trust. So the first marker is, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. The Lord, that's the one we should be trusting. And what is meant by trusting? We said we ought to be trusting him. What is meant by trusting him? Now, trusting him means putting our lives into his hands. Entrusting our lives into his hands. That's what is meant by entrusting him. Now, let me give you an example of what trusting is. So, many years ago, when China first opened up, or not many years after China opened up, the company that I worked for had this business deal with the Chinese government. The company that I worked for was to provide these heavy machineries for the Chinese to do coal mining in a remote place, some distance from the capital city of Beijing. And to get to that coal mine, there were just two ways of going there. One is by road, but the roads were very bad. Now, the other way to get there was, of course, by air, by means of a single-engine light aircraft. All right. So the aircraft had to be very, very small because the landing strip at the coal mine was too short to accommodate any bigger aircraft. So this colleague of mine was first time going to that coal mine. So he traveled to Beijing first of all, and after that he took a train to a small town, and from there he was to fly from that small town to the coal mine. And then he met the pilot of the plane. Now, the pilot of the plane looked every inch a pilot, from the waist upwards, all right, because he wore his uniform and he had his nice cap on. He looked every inch a pilot. But from his waist downwards, it was something else. His pants were not part of the uniform. And what was he wearing? Flops, slippers. That was what he was wearing. And then he said something that caused my colleague to lose confidence in him. He said to my colleague, you know, we have enough fuel to get to the coal mine, provided the weather is good. Yes. But if the weather is not good, well, who knows? And then, of course, what was my colleague to do? He had to go to the coal mine. What did he have to do? The other way is to go by road. That would take a long, long time. It would take a long, long time for him to get there. So he had no choice but to board the plane. Now the question is, did he or did he not trust the pilot? Yes, no. I say yes, of course. He entrusted his life into the hands of the pilot. Whether he felt like trusting him or not didn't really matter. The point was, he boarded the plane. That was the main thing. He boarded the plane. He entrusted his life to the pilot. That is how we should be trusting our Lord, my dear friends. It is not about how we feel about trusting him. No, it's a question of whether we are willing to entrust our life into his hands. That is what is meant by trusting him. And thankfully, our God is not like that Pilate, right? Our God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and he loves us sacrificially. Now, he's the one with whom nothing is impossible, and he's absolutely faithful. Now, that's the first marker. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Now, the second marker is, lean not unto thy own understanding. Lean not unto thy own understanding. Now, this is something that is very hard to do. As we know, as they say also, life is made up of choices, and we have to make them. The problem is we are very, very inclined to lean on our own understanding to make those choices. You see, we think that we are wise enough, smart enough to make those choices. Now, let's take this cave diving situation again. Let's say we come to a point of the route. We are diving, we come to a point of the route where the route diverges into two routes. Now, one of the routes has got water that is very, very murky. And then the passage is so narrow that it only allows one diver to get through at a single time. But the passage is clearly marked. The route is clearly marked. There's the direction that shows that this is the right way to go. Now, the other route is very nice to look at, all right? Broad, the passage is very, very wide. The water is very, very clear. But that route is unmarked. Now, leaning on your own understanding, you say, this route is not good. Water is murky, passageway so narrow, this route so looks so good, water is so clear. Let me take this route. So you lean on your own understanding to take this route. The next thing you know is you are lost. But very thankfully, someone comes along to rescue you. Friends, if we want to know God's will, we must not lean on our own understanding. We must make our choices based on God's markers. We must make our choices based on God's word. Now, in the word of God, we have cases of people who made their choices leaning on their own understanding. And then the result was really very, very disastrous. Yes, they created problems for themselves and they created them problems for the subsequent generations. I refer you to the case of Rebekah and her son Jacob. Remember Rebekah and Jacob who leaned on their own understanding to deceive Isaac, the father of Jacob or the husband of Rebekah, into pronouncing his blessing upon Jacob instead of upon Esau, who was the firstborn. You see, rightfully the blessing should be pronounced on Esau, but not on Jacob. Jacob and Esau were twin brothers. But the point was this, Jacob loved spiritual things. He was interested in spiritual things. Esau was a man of the world. He was not interested in spiritual things. And then before the twins were born, God had spoken clearly to Rebekah that the older brother would be serving the younger brother. Esau would be serving Jacob. So as far as Rebekah was concerned, there was no way that Esau should be receiving the blessing from Isaac. But the day came when Isaac was about to pronounce his blessings. And he was, of course, going to pronounce his blessings on a blessing on Esau rather than on Jacob, because Esau was the older brother. So he called Esau and said, you go out and hunt venison. I want to eat venison meat. And his eyes were dim. He couldn't see properly. So Esau left. But this instruction that he gave to Esau was overheard by Rebekah. So Rebekah very quickly summoned the other son, Jacob, and said, you go get two goat kids and bring them to me. And so with her culinary skill, she was able to cook up a meal that tasted like venison meat. And so she asked Jacob, who was then dressed like Esau, to bring the meat to Jacob, to Isaac. And Isaac, of course, he couldn't see well, and he thought that Jacob was Esau, so he pronounced his blessing on Jacob. So Jacob received the blessing. Now, what was the result? The result was bad. Yes, Esau was, of course, very, very angry with Jacob. And he had this design to kill him. So what was Jacob to do? Jacob had to escape from home. So he left home, and his leaving home to go and stay with Uncle Laban was meant to be for a few days only. But those few days turned out to be how many years? 20 years. All right, and a sad thing happened during the 20-year period. Rebekah died, Rebecca never saw the son again who left home. You see, she had relied on her perception, her ability to manipulate, her culinary skills to deceive her husband. She didn't rely on the Lord to bring his will to pass. Now the question is this: could not the Lord work out his own will without the manipulation of Rebecca? Could he not? Of course he could. He's the one true living God with whom nothing is impossible. Yes, he could well have carried out his own will without the manipulation of Rebecca. An old lady who was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ was very concerned about the relationship that existed among her children. Yes, the children were not getting well with one another. And so in order to try to maintain some kind of peace among the children, she lied for every of her children to the other children. She meant to be very, very protective over her children, so she lied for one, she lied for another, she lied for another among them. But the problem was, her lies created more problems than the truth. Yes, what she should have done was not to lean onto her own understanding to lie, but she should have trusted in the one true living God to resolve the problems among her children. Friends, instead of leaning on our own understanding, we must in all our ways acknowledge him. Now that is the third marker. First marker, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Number two, lean not unto thy own understanding. Number three, in all thy ways acknowledge him. My dear friends, we are talking about getting guidance to do his will. And these are the markings. Number one, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Number two, lean not unto thy own understanding. Number three, in all thy ways acknowledge him. But friends, we do not in all our ways acknowledge him. And that's the truth. Many times we do not in all our ways acknowledge him. You know what we will do? Yeah, you know what we'll do? We will come before the Lord and say, Lord, these are my sins, these are my ways. Lord, you endorse my ways. That's what we tell him to do. We come with him to before him with a list and say, Lord, give me this, give me that, show me this, show me that, lead me here, lead me there. Lord, give me this career, give me that career. But Lord, please don't call me into full-time service. Lord, please don't call me into, don't call me to become a Sunday school teacher. And then what do we expect the Lord to do? We expect the Lord to endorse our list and then say okay to us. Isn't that true? That's what we are very, very prone to doing. But that's not the way we should, that's not what we should be doing. We must in all our ways acknowledge him. We must be totally surrendered to him. You know what we must be doing, friends? This is what we ought to be doing. We should come before him with a blank sheet. Nothing written on it, blank sheet. And at the bottom of the sheet, we should sign our name. That's what we should be doing. We must come before him and see him as the all-knowing God who knows all about us. The all-powerful God with whom nothing is impossible. The one who loves us so much, who wants the very, very best for us. Yes, he that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So he loves us very, very much. And then we come before him and we should be saying this to him. Lord, I acknowledge you as my Lord and my Master, the Lord and Master of my life. Please be very, very gracious to me, Lord. Please fill up this sheet, yes, and tell me what you want to have me do. And then be very, very prepared to say to him, Lord, here am I. Send me, even if it means my going into full-time service. That is what we ought to be doing, my dear friends, and not come before him with a list and then ask him to endorse and sign okay. Rather, we should come before him with a blank sheet, sign our name at the bottom, and say, Lord, please kindly fill up this sheet. That's what we should be doing. So we bring the blank sheet before the Lord with our signature at the bottom. But how are we to know what the Lord writes on this sheet, right? In other words, what we want to know is God's way for our knowing his guidance. What is God's way for our knowing his guidance? Now his way for letting us know his guidance is through his word. Because his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, lamp unto our feet, and light unto our path. His word is our marker. All right, we talk about three markers. The word, His word is another marker, the fourth marker for doing His will on our journeying on this earth, for our journeying on this earth. Now, what is His clearest marker? His clearest marker is His Ten Commandments. That is His clearest marker. Now, if we really want to do His will, there is just no two ways about it. If we really want to do His will, listen, we must obey His commandments, the commandments given to us. Now, His commandments given to us are not to save us. All right, His commandments don't save us. The obeying of His commandments cannot save us because we are not able to obey His commandments perfectly. But His commandments are given to us to direct us to the path of righteousness, to direct us to the way of salvation. His laws are like a schoolmaster, the Word of God says, leading us to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we may be able to find salvation. So in Galatians 3:24, we read, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." The law was our schoolmaster. Now, the schoolmaster in ancient time was not a headmaster of a school or not a teacher in the sense that we understand it today. The schoolmaster in ancient time was really a slave who was well trusted by the master. So he would be entrusted with the care of the master's children, and he was the one perhaps who would have to provide some kind of private tuition to the children, and he was also the one who would be bringing the children to the private school for them to do their studies. So that was the schoolmaster in those days. Now, the laws of God have this function also. You see, like a schoolmaster, they point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. The laws point us to Jesus Christ. They tell us that we have sinned and that we have come short of the glory of God and that we are in need of the Savior. And the Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, except the law tells us that we have sinned against Him, my dear friends, we might not know or we do not know that we have sinned against Him. Yes? Now, if you are an unbeliever, if you have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior yet, today, I urge you to look at this marker given by the Lord Jesus, given by the one true living God. Even His Ten Commandments. Look at this marker. If you are still outside of the kingdom of God, if you are still not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, they will show you that you indeed have come short of the glory of God. The Word of God, or the law of God, this marker tells us that we are to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Do we pass as far as obeying this commandment is concerned? My dear friends, we fail. We say we love God, but the question is, all right, you love God, but do you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? We are not able to do that. We fail. So we have come short of the glory of God. And His word tells us that we have committed adultery. You don't have to, a man does not have to sleep with a woman that is not his wife to commit adultery. The word of God tells us that so long as he looks at another woman who is not his wife with desire in his heart, he has already committed adultery. He need have to take out a knife to kill somebody to commit murder. So long as he hates somebody, he's already committed murder. The Word of God tells us that we have cheated, we have lied, and so forth. We have come short of the glory of God. Friends, if you're outside of the kingdom of God, look at this marker and see that this marker is indeed pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Yes, these markers are lovingly given to us to point us to Jesus, so that if you are outside the kingdom of God, you will want to come and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you are discerning and you can see this marker and you are still outside the kingdom of God, why don't you come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior today? Now, it is not good enough just to know this marker, His word in the head. All right? His word must be applied to our lives. Now, I'd like us to bring our attention back to this cave diving situation again. As we said, we come to this point of the route where the route diverges into several routes. And then there is this route that is clearly marked, water very murky, the way very narrow, and we register in our mind. Now, this is the right route to take. We see it. Yes, right route to take. We must be taking this route. But friends, we register it only in the mind. We see the other routes. One of them looks very, very good. Water very clear. Passage very big. Let me take that route. My dear friends, that is what we are very, very prone to do. Yes, we register God's word in our head, but we do not apply it to our lives. My dear friends, but if we seriously want to do the will of God, we must let the word of God not only be head knowledge, but it must be heart knowledge as well. The word of God must be translated into action, not just thought in the head, but must be translated into action. We must follow the marker, not just know the marker in the head, but must follow the marker. Now, God's will is that none should perish, but shall have everlasting life. The word of God says, the word of God, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As we say, we know that God wants all of us to come, do not want us to perish, but he wants us to come to repentance. We know this for a fact, but we do not take the action to repent. If we do not take the action to repent, this knowledge is useless, worthless. We must apply his word to our life. Our Lord Jesus Christ, while he walked on this earth, said this, "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him." My dear friends, it is needful that we believe on him. The will of God is that we believe on him. If you are outside the kingdom of God, and you know that salvation is through Jesus Christ, but you do not believe in him, my dear friends, your knowledge is useless. You must take action to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ if you really want salvation in the Lord. So, my dear friends, this marker, the word of God, must necessarily be applied to our lives. Otherwise, knowing this marker is useless. It is only head knowledge. Now, there are many choices in our lives which are clearly determined by this marker, God's Ten Commandments, very, very clearly given to us. Yes, many things in our life, many choices are clearly determined by the Word of God. We don't even have to pray over these choices, really. We just have to follow the marker. Don't have to pray over them. His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Now you take this cave diving situation again. Now let's say before you dive, you assemble at the mouth of the cave together with a group of other people, other divers, and then this seasoned diver, the master diver, is giving this instruction of giving his briefing on what you should do or what you should not do in the cave. Then as he gives his briefing, you raise your hand, you say, Sir, if I come to the route, a point of the route, where there are two routes following that, if one is marked and the other one is unmarked, can I take the one that's unmarked? What kind of answer do you expect from him? Of course the answer is no. Then he gives his briefing again. And then 5 minutes later, you say, "Hey, sir, can I ask you this question? When I come to this route, this point, when there are two routes following that route, if one is marked, the other one is unmarked, can I take the route that's unmarked?" I say, you must be most exasperating to the one who's giving the instruction, isn't it true? But that's what we are very, very prone to do, you know, when we come before the Lord. The Lord says, no, 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 so clearly from his word, and we still want to pray about those things. No need to pray about those things, my dear friends. His words are very, very clear. His words give us clear instruction. Let us not be so stubborn, so stiff-necked, as to be insistent in wanting the Lord to bend his will to suit us. We are just asking for trouble if we did that, my dear friends. And of course, we need to pray. That is the other marker. We need to pray, all right? We want to know God's will, we must pray. But when we pray, let us be sure that we do not say this to the Lord. I think we are all very, very fond of saying this to him. In essence, hear, Lord, for your servant speaketh. I said it before from this pulpit. Hear, Lord, for your servant speaketh. It should be the other way around. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. That's the right approach. And that was the approach taken by little Samuel when he was in the tabernacle learning how to serve the Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. And that's the position that we must be taking in our prayer. Now, let's consider God's promise concerning his guidance. Now, that's my third point. God's promise concerning his guidance. Now, if we follow his markers, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, obey his word, this is his promise to us. We will know his will for us. Definitely. Yeah, because he says, he shall direct thy path. Isn't it true? He says that he shall direct thy path, which means that we will surely know his will. Yes. And his promise for us, to us, if we follow his markers, is that he will surely, clearly show us his will. I'd like us now to look at Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. All right? Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Let me read these two verses to you. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Now let me read to you. Delight, or maybe we read together. Let's read it. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. My dear friends, if we follow the markers that the Lord has given to us, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, obey his word, my dear friends, we can be very, very sure that he will bring it to pass. Yes, we will have our desires, the things that we desire, he will surely give to us. What we desire to have, we'll have. What we desire to be done, it will be done. You know why? Because if we are following his markers, we are just doing his desires, right? So if we are doing his desires, our desires are actually his desires. Now, if his desires are our desires, then obviously our desires must be his desires. Now, if our desires are his desires, then surely the things that we ask for, the things that we desire, will surely be given to us. Isn't that very true? Yes. Now, in the Word of God, we have this classic example of one whose way was directed by the Lord, and the Lord clearly granted him the desire of his heart. Yes, I refer you to the case of this elder servant of Abraham. Abraham tasked him with something that was virtually impossible to do, and that was to find a bride for his son Isaac. Not in the land of Canaan, but in his home country, in the land of Padan Aram. Now, this servant took on the assignment. Now, I dare say that this servant, having served this Abraham for many years, must have learned how to trust in the one true living God, just as Abraham had trusted the Lord. Now, how was he to find a bride for his master's son, Isaac? Yes, there must be, as we said, hundreds, if not thousands of eligible girls in the land of Padan Aram, in the land of Mesopotamia. Could he go down there and say, who wants to be the wife of Isaac? I mean, he couldn't go there and make an announcement like that, right? Yes. Now, could he lean on his own understanding to find a bride for his master's son? There was no way that he could ever lean on his own understanding to find a bride for his master's son. He must totally rely on the guidance of the Almighty God, the God of Abraham. Yes, now who gave Abraham this guidance? See, God gave Abraham this guidance, and Abraham gave this guidance to his servant, the elder servant. All right, I'd like us to turn to Genesis 24. Genesis 24. Genesis 24. And verse 3. Genesis 24 and verse 3. And I will make thee swear by the Lord. Abraham was telling his elder servant, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites. In other words, you see to it that you do not get one of these Canaanite girls to be my son's wife. That was what he said. Alright? Among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. In other words, don't you ever bring my son there. If the girl doesn't want to come, you don't bring my son to my home country. See that you do not do that. Alright, because God had already called me out from that country to come to this place. See that you don't bring my son back there. Verse 7. The God of heaven which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So this was the instruction given to Abraham's elder servant. And this was, as we said, instruction from the one true living God. And this was the instruction that this man, Abraham's elder servant, was to act on. He was not to lean on to his own understanding. And then when he arrived at Paddan Aram, and then he came to this well, and then, of course, you look at this place, there must be, as we said, hundreds, if not thousands of girls that were eligible for his master's son, Isaac. Who would be the right girl for my master's son? Genesis 24:11. And he made his camels to kneel down without outside the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Verse 12. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I'll give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that has that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. That was his prayer. He comes to the place and he said, Lord, I do not know which girl is suitable for my master's son, but Lord, you know. And so he prayed this prayer. Now, if the girl who comes out and who's willing to do this, provide water for me, my fellow servants, and also provide water for the 10 thirsty camels, then that must be the girl. All right, and God answered his prayer. Rebecca came along and did exactly what he prayed for. Yes, and that servant knew right away that this was God's choice for Isaac. And so verse 27, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way. Now the key is this, I being in the way. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. This elder servant was in the way that the Lord wanted him to go. He followed God's markers. In other words, he trusted in the Lord in the same way as possibly Abraham trusted the one true living God. And he leaned not unto his own understanding. He didn't say, oh, let me decide, let me choose, and so forth. But he just simply followed the instruction given by Abraham. You go to this place, get a wife for my son. All right? And the angel of the Lord will go before you. That was the instruction that he acted on. He did not lean onto his own understanding. And then, in all his ways, acknowledge him. Now, if he had his own way, all right, if he had his own way, he would say, this old man, strange fella, you know, look at the number of Canaanite girls in this land. Surely among them, there must be one who is very, very good. Surely there's one who is very, very godly. Why doesn't this old man take one of these girls for his son to be the son's wife? He didn't think that way. He said, my master said, there's a girl for him in that land, bring him that girl over. He just did that. He went. And the Lord found that girl for Isaac. Now the question you might be asking is, is there a need for us to pray like the way this servant prayed, right, for the Lord to tell us his will very, very clearly? My dear friends, I dare say that very often we don't even have to pray that prayer. If we follow God's markers, lean unto the Lord, trust the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thy own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, obey his word, I say the Lord will show very, very clearly to us his will. We don't even have to be very, very specific and lay down special conditions for the Lord to fulfill, to show us clearly that he has answered our prayers. We don't even have to do that. Now I give you my personal testimony. Not long after I became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I had this desire to serve the Lord. I dedicated my life to him. I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do. Or I made that decision. Now, over the years, of course, I first of all became a school teacher. And then after that, I went to work for this commercial company. And for years, I was there. Now, while I worked, serving my secular employer, I was always serving the Lord. Because it was my desire to serve the Lord. Then there came a time in my life when I said, I think I should not continue serving my secular employer. I'm not going to live the last few years of my life when I didn't have, when I don't have strength, don't have energy, and to serve the Lord. No, I'm not going to leave my remnant for the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord while I still could serve. So at the age of 50, I decided that I should take steps to resign from my company. Then about a couple of years later, I resigned from the company. But where was I to serve the Lord? Now, through some strange, I shouldn't say strange, but through the leading of the Lord, it became very clear that I was to serve in Australia. I won't go into that, but I just tell you that we knew that, my wife and I knew that we were to serve in Australia. And then there was a friend who invited us to go to Brisbane to serve, because he was building a school and he was building a hostel. And he wanted me to be a chaplain in the hostel. But before I could go to that place, the door to that place was closed, so I couldn't go. Then there was some need in Melbourne, and they needed me to go there. But before I went, before I took steps to go, the door there was also closed. There was really no need for me to go there. Then there was this call from Sydney. Why don't you come to Sydney? All right, come here for a couple of months. So I came here, and then my wife and I came, and after that, we left for Singapore for a couple of weeks. We didn't know whether we should continue to serve here or not, but we knew that there was this work here for us to do. So we came back and we served, and we continued serving. And then not long, some years after that, there was a day when a member of the church said to us, why don't you apply for work permit to work in this country so that you don't have to travel so often back to Singapore? So we said, all right, let's apply for the work permit. I can tell you, it was not easy for me to apply for the work permit because I was already 60 years old, all right, about 60 or so, or 50-something at that time. Not easy for me to apply for the work permit. And so my friend had to compile a very, very thick folder to make that application. It was really hard going, you know. I had to look into my records, my passport, you know, when I was in Australia, and so on and so forth. Not so easy. For some of you, applying is a piece of cake. But for me, it was so difficult. I had to know, for example, report how many brothers I had, when were they born, and so on and so forth, when they passed away, so many things. So we submitted. Then came the response. My work permit was approved. So we said, oh, good. This is the Lord's indicator to us that we continue to serve here. Then, after 2 years, the work permit was about to expire. This friend came to me and said, hey, why don't you apply for a permanent residency? I said, I wasn't really very interested. First of all, I didn't think that I would get it. So then I wasn't very, very interested also. But I thought about it, why not? You know, since he asked me to apply, why don't we try? So we tried. All right, I can tell you it was not easy to get, all right? First of all, I was already 60 at that time. Age was against me. And besides, I didn't have formal theological training. I didn't have a theological degree. So how could I ever get to become a preacher in this country? There was no way that I could get it. But, you know, miracle of miracles, I got it. The immigration lawyer who did the job for me said, this is the hand of God. You got it, you know. So it became very, very clear to us that we were to stay on to serve the Lord here. Now, did I ask the Lord for any special sign or something like that? No, we just followed the Lord, his markers. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Obey his word. That's all we did. And then the Lord showed to us very, very clearly his will. And that is what we ought to be doing, my dear friends. If you want to know the Lord's will, yes, remember his markers. What are his markers again? Trust the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and obey his word. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. Lord, we thank you that you have given us very clear markers in regards to how we may be able to know your will. Lord, teach us always to trust in you with all our heart, and not to lean unto our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge you and to obey your word. Father, we know that if we did all these things, you will surely show your will very, very clearly to us. So help us, O Lord God, to always walk close to you and be desirous of wanting to do what you want us to do. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.